Hello, I'm Lee Hatcher with the Coaching and Education podcast series. I'm in conversation with Ben Kalaya. Ben is co-director of Growth Coaching International in the West Australian, South Australian and Northern Territory regions. As you'll hear, Ben is a dynamic and engaging coach, workshop facilitator and conference presenter. Ben's keen interest is helping people develop positive and high-functioning professional relationships, which he sees as fundamental to effective leadership and organisational development. Much of Ben's current work is in assisting schools and organisations in their strategic planning work. As you'll hear in our Skype conversation, he has a keen interest in developing the coaching skills of students. So why train students as coaches?
Teachers have probably done coaching approaches with their students for a while, whether that's goal setting or forward planning. But there's a real benefit then, we thought, in training students to act as peer coaches with each other. And I think a couple of reasons stand out as distinctly beneficial for students coaching one another as opposed to teachers or adults coaching students. And firstly, just that peer relationship, the idea of one student sitting down with another student, that same age, that same relationship, means that we bring something to the conversation very differently than what an adult would be able to do. So I think we saw a real benefit or a need in that area to train students in that way, not just so that the students themselves who are being coached get that benefit, but also that the students who are the coaches themselves get the benefit from that experience as well.
I'm sure they do. What have you found, Ben, in terms of a student's emotional intelligence to be able to coach others? It's one of the key factors I know in being a good coach, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Because there are some skills that you can train in terms of our model for coaching and structures to help the conversation go. But when we talk about a way of being in coaching, so what it actually who we are, what we bring of ourselves to that coaching process is really important. And that ultimately comes down to that emotional intelligence. So interestingly, I think in many ways, young people bring that emotional intelligence quite naturally. We've done this work with high school students, we've done this work with primary school students, and even though developmentally they're at very different stages, they can you really see them being able to bring that emotional intelligence to that work. There's an annual study that's done every year, the Gallup Student Poll, that looks at kind of measures of well-being, measures of engagement, and really looks at kind of those interpersonal skills that are important for students. And recent studies and the results of that poll really shows that the use of student strengths on a daily basis makes such a pivotal difference into not only students' well-being, their mindset, but how they approach their academic work and their outcome in that way. And I think when we look at a way of being in coaching, we look at emotional intelligence and we draw upon those strengths of the students, the interpersonal skills, then it naturally gives them the opportunity to develop those. And I think that's pivotally important.
Sure.
There's a whole work in terms of the Australian curriculum when we look at general capabilities, these skills that need to underpin all areas of the curriculum. They naturally lend themselves to what we look at in coaching training, and particularly in that emotional intelligence areas, how we understand ourselves and how we understand others.
Okay. I want to get practical in two ways. First, to look at perhaps a specific case study of a school, and then go to maybe a story of a student. So have you got an example of where this has kind of played out well in a school?
Yeah, look, I think we've tried different models with different schools, and I think one that seems particularly effective that stands out is that in a high school context where we did some training directly with some year 11 students, so they're about 16 years of age. And I think what made it work so well at that school was long term there's a desire for all students at that that level to be able to have some skills and understanding of coaching. You know, the school walked into them with the philosophy of, we want every student to have the opportunity to be coached, but we don't think every student naturally would necessarily be a coach. So they opened up the opportunity to through invitation for students to see who would like to be a coach. And they tapped a few students on the shoulder as well, but they really invited this core group who wanted to step forward and be coached in this way. Trained those students up through a modulated program that we had designed, and really gave them opportunities to practice those skills amongst themselves before they then worked with some of their peers as well. I think what made that program work so well is that the staff at that school had a really good understanding of what coaching was. They were able to support the students, kind of mentor them in their coaching approaches, which made it far more sustainable long term. It wasn't as though they did this good training and then it died away. They supported the students, they gave them kind of some key times set aside where they could coach their peers and built it into some existing structures. You know, they're now nearly 2 years further into their journey. They've trained a number of students up in cohorts like that. Those students have gone on, obviously, progressed in their years. So they're now seeing a real kind of cultural shift where this is becoming a part of what happens year after year. So it started to spread throughout the school.
Sounds wonderful. So what about a particular story of a student that perhaps you can point to and say, Ben, this is the difference coaching can make in a student's school life?
A couple of examples come to mind. One in particular, again, was a student in high school who was in many ways a very quiet, unassuming student. And I think this is where the way the school approached inviting students to kind of put themselves forward rather than doing this as a leadership program where they just took, say, a student council or a leadership group and trained them as the coaches, which often can happen. But the students who end up putting themselves forward, I think with a bit of encouragement from a particular teacher, very quiet, unassuming, would not normally have stepped forward, I think, for leadership roles, went through this training and end up being asked by a number of other students if he could coach them. Afterwards, anecdotally, when we interviewed this student, said, well, what benefit has it been for you? And he said it gave him the voice and the confidence to be able to step forward and tell other people, hey, this is who I am, but also this is what I have to offer.
Wow.
It's encouraged him to say that, you know, I'm not athletic or I'm not going to be not the most academic person, but, you know, I've got some real skills and gifts and I love to be able to actually support them, other people in that. And it just enabled him to connect with other people, to step forward in ways that he hadn't been able to do previously in the school environment. So good for him that others saw that as well. And that was really significant.
And significant for his whole life, way beyond school, I have no doubt.
Absolutely. And I think this is where we're seeing that, you know, coaching, when done well, coach training is really about upskilling that does carry through all areas of life. So while there are very specific tangible benefits to supporting students for their academic success and tailoring, you know, the coaching approach in a school, you know, for real outcomes in that way, we're really upskilling young people in areas that overflow throughout their life. And I think that's just invaluable.
You're listening to the Coaching in Education podcast series. I'm in conversation with Ben Kalea. Well, all this sounds great, but how does a school take on and sustain student coaching themselves in practical terms?
I think first thinking about, well, there's not a one size fits all.
No.
There's, I think different schools can come to this through different avenues. But some core elements, I think, of a good program would be to make sure that, there is a level of volunteerism, I think, for for students to be involved, some process where they can put themselves forward. But when you're forcing students or forcing anyone to be coached or to coach, then you're always going to, struggle with that going well. So I think schools need to think about who are the right people to be involved in this. They need to set aside time for how this is going to happen. If they've got existing pastoral care processes or their existing support networks within the school, then how can we embed this into existing structures and practices rather than another add-on or expecting students to always do this in their own time? So they've got to make some time or build it into existing structures. There needs to be real practical experience, I think, for students to do this. But ultimately, I think this needs to fit into a bigger culture of what a school is doing in this space. So having some key staff members who know coaching, who know it well, and are doing it, you know. And so they're a model for the students, a support for the students, but also means it's fitting into something bigger that the school is after.
Yeah. We've already covered some of the benefits for students and teachers themselves. Can you think of any more that you've seen? And I want to ask about school culture. Mm. Does it have the potential to change a school's culture?
Oh, absolutely. And if you look at, you know, when we talk culture, what do we mean by that? And I think this, you know, for me, very simply, it's the way we do things around here. This is the norm of how we are. This is the language we use. This is just how we are. And if schools are using a coaching approach with how leaders support their staff and develop their staff, if teachers are using coaching approaches maybe to give feedback to one another, whether that's around classroom observation structures or just peer support, and if then students are using this approach for how that they support one another, do their goal setting, whether it's academically focused or on wellbeing focused, we're really seeing this now infiltrate all areas of development and support. That's when you've got a common language across all people within the school, a common approach. That's when you see that real cultural change happen, I think. We're all kind of singing from the same song sheet. We're all using the same language, and there's a common way that we do things.
Great stuff. So if there's a senior leader or a teacher listening to this, and they might think, yeah, this could work for us, what are the kind of considerations they should go through, Ben? Think through, what would your recommendation be?
I think they really need to consider their readiness, first of all. What are we already doing in this space? How would this fit in with our current programs, our current approaches to peer support, to student support? So first of all, doing a bit of an audit for their own school of what's already going on in this space, and how do we fit it in with what we're already going to do? What student population are we going to target? You know, if we're a primary school, and because we've done this program with, as I said, across primary and secondary, and adapted it for the developmental needs. But, you know, what cohort and why? Why are we training our students up for this?
Yes.
Is it as a leadership program or is this as a support program? Because that would then determine who are the right students to bring into this approach. So really asking themselves, where are we already? What are we, who do we want to be involved? Why do we want them involved? And then what's the best way to fit this into our existing programs? We do a modulated training program where it could be, say, spread out in chunks over maybe six or so sessions with practice in between, or we can do it as a solid two-day training program. What's the right model to meet our needs and also to fit in? And really importantly, how are we going to support this long-term, both through our own staffing but also within our programs, so that this upskilling is not lost and just becomes another thing we've done, yes, but it really becomes a part of what we do in an ongoing way. How do we make this sustainable and fit this into our programs?
Ben Collier, you've had some great experiences, got some great stories, and I know all of this has made a significant difference to many schools, especially the students and the teachers. Thank you so much indeed for taking us through it all.
Thanks, Lee.
You've been listening to the Coaching in Education podcast series. Check out some of our other great podcasts in this series. I know you'll be inspired. They are at www.growthcoaching.com.au.